if you can, take a look at the last line on Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. And it says, Sofek v'androgynous. There are two categories here that are listed in our Mishnah of Mila, which is not Docha Shabbos. And that is, number one, Sofek, which means that we're not sure whether or not he is obligated in Bris Mila, and we cannot violate the Shabbos in a Sofek situation. That's number one. Number two, we have something called an androgynous. An androgynous, which is a Greek word, is for a person who's born with both what's called zachrus and nachrus, and nakvus. So he has both the male and the female genital organs. And the question is, what is the status of an androgynous? Is he a zachar because he has zachrus, if he's in a keva, because he has, or she has nakvus, or is it some new birya? And therefore, we don't know whether or not to classify this child as a zachar. And of course, only a zachar is chayav in mila, and only a mila of a zachar would override the Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us that in these cases where we have a doubt, we cannot violate the Shabbos out of doubt. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. The brisa is darshaning a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Beis. It says, "Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Orloso." So, Bayom Hashmini, the Chazal tell us that even on Shabbos, which means that Mila is Docha Shabbos, and then it says Orloso. Now, the word Orloso here is seen as a mute, as an exclusion. And what is it excluding? So we're going to have a whole long list. Number one, Vadai Docha Es HaShabbos. Only when the mitzvah of Mila is Vadai. But not if it's a Sofek. And here we're going to start our daf for today on Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. V'lo Sofek Docha Es HaShabbos. But not a case of Sofek. The Gemara later on is going to go into detail explaining exactly what that means, that a Sofek is not Docha Shabbos. Now, the Brisa continues with a whole long list of exclusions that are excluded from the word Orloso. And Orloso Vadai Docha Es HaShabbos V'lo Androgynous. So since we don't know whether he's a Zohar and a Keva, we cannot violate and override the Shabbos. Then we have the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Androgynous Doches HaShabbos V'Onush Kares. That because the Androgynous has Simonim, he has male genitals, therefore he has the status of a male, and that's enough to generate a Chiyuv Mila and override the Shabbos. If this Androgynous, according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, fails to circumcise, I'll use the word himself, then he becomes Chayav Karis because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's obligated in the mitzvah of Mila. What else do we exclude from Arla? Arlaso Vadai Docha Es HaShabbos V'lo Nolad Bein HaShmoshos. So if the baby was born during that twilight period on Friday evening, or for that matter, during the twilight period on Shabbos evening, in both cases, we have a Sofek. We don't know whether that period of time is considered Shabbos. In other words, do we say that Bein HaShmoshos is already the next day, or is Bein HaShmoshos the previous day? And we can't tell one way or the other. So that becomes a halachic Sofek. And in such a case, Nolad Bein HaShmoshos is not Docha Es HaShabbos, because once again, we're not convinced that there's a mitzvah of Mila. What else do we exclude from our Loso? Our Loso Vadei Docha Es HaShabbos V'lo Nolad Kishuhu Mol Docha Es HaShabbos. A baby who's born without a foreskin, and there is such a biological phenomenon, we have a machlokas as to whether or not there is Mila. Now, in the case of Nolad Mohul, what would Mila be? There's no foreskin to cut off. But the theory is that perhaps there is an Arla that's called Kvusha, which means it's covered by the foreskin, but it's really underneath. And through the procedure, which the Gemara is going to mention right now, you can absolutely guarantee that this child had a milah. So what is that procedure? So Beit Shammai Omrim Tzorech LaHatif Mimenu Dam Bris, which basically means we will make a little bit of an incision in the crown, and that's enough to guarantee that there was milah, in case there is arla underneath the skin. But Beis Hillel Omrim Eino Tzorech. Beis Hillel says, no, we don't need to do any sort of procedure. The very fact that we don't see any foreskin, any arla, that's enough to presume that the child is oral, is mahul, excuse me. It's already been born circumcised. Now, we have to keep this in mind. We need like a scorecard as we go through this sugya, that in this particular presentation, there is a machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai as to the status of a nolad mahul, when this child is born already circumcised, whereas Beit Shammai require milah, which is called atofes dam bris in this case, and Beis Hillel does not require, but Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar disagrees with the Tanakama, meaning the anonymous first Tana that we learned until now that presents a machlokas about whether nolad mol requires milah, and Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar, no, lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel al nolad shu mol shet sarach lahatif mimenu dam bris mipnei sha'orla kvusha hi. Even Beis Hillel agree, according to the transmission of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that we have to subject this baby that was born without a foreskin to this procedure, this slight incision called atofas dam bris, to bring out some blood, because there is a likelihood that the baby has arla, although it's not obvious to the naked eye, it's below the surface. Alman nechluku, however, Rav Shimon says there is a machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, and that machlokes revolves around a different case. And that's the case al gershin is gair kshu mohul. Right? Many different nations on the face of the earth, especially amongst the Arabs, you'll find it, they have milah. But their milah is not halachically significant. Now, this young Arab, let's say, goes through conversion. He's already mohul because he had milah while he was an Arab before he converted to Judaism. Is here we have a machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. And in this case, there's no arla kvusha because this baby was born, you know, to a Muslim parent and had a foreskin, and they cut off the foreskin through their ritual of milah. But nevertheless, Beit Shammai Omrim, Tzorech Latif Imenu Dam Bris. Why? Because Beit Shammai hold that since there was not a mitzvadika milah that was performed, you know, it was a very nice, from a halachic perspective, very nice surgical operation, but it was not milah in any sense, and therefore the child needs milah. And there's this new entity to substitute for milah in a case when there's no arla, and that's called Hatofas Dam Bris. Beis Hillel Omrim, Einu Tzorech Latif Imenu Dam Bris. Beis Hillel says that since that surgical procedure that was done before the conversion remove the arla, now the young man has no foreskin, and therefore there's no arla. If there's no arla, there's no metzias, there's no physical material foreskin, therefore there's no chiyuv milah. And that's the presentation of Rav Shimon ben Elazar.
I got the internet back on. The book was all done.
Omar Mar.
Can you reconnect the electricity?
I don't know how to open the internet.
Omar Mar.
It won't work yet.
But we're going back to explain the Braisa. The Braisa says that only Orla Vadai overrides the Shabbos. Velo Suffolk. And not a case of a Suffolk. A Suffolk is not Docha Shabbos. Lasuye Mai. After all, the Braisa has a long list of enumerated cases that could be described and classified as Suffolk. What is this general rule coming to include when it says velo safek docha es haShabbos? What is the reality, the scenario of a safek in this case? Lasuya, it's coming to include hadatani rabbanon, that which we learned in the following brisa, ben shiva mechalin olav es haShabbos, or ben shmona ein mechalin olav es haShabbos. Now, what's going on here is that, as you know, a normal baby is born in 9 months, a preemie is born in 7 months. In some cases, the baby is a preemie, but it doesn't come out. It's not born. And the birth process is delayed for 1 month. And Tosis points out that in such a case, when the baby is born after 8 months, if there are certain simonim, certain physical phenomenon that manifest themselves on this 8-month-old baby, then in that case, we know that the baby is unfortunately is not going to survive. And therefore, ein mechalam olav es haShabbos. We will not subject this baby to mila, because unfortunately, tragically, we believe that the baby is going to die within a certain period of time, and that's called a nafel. A nafel is like a trefa, doesn't have viability, doesn't have the status of a living being, and therefore it doesn't have mila, and it would not override the Shabbos. However, what about a case of Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shmona? You know, we're not always able to calculate exactly how many months old this baby is. Today we have maybe more sophisticated technology, but in those days you would not know whether the baby was a 7th month baby or an 8th month baby. And if it's an 8th month baby, then it's a nafel, and its mila would not override the Shabbos. And therefore, since we have a suffix, ein mechalin olav es haShabbos. Ben Shmona, if on the other hand we know for sure that the baby is an 8th month-old baby, and as we said before, it doesn't have a chance to survive, then areyu ke'evin v'osel l'taltalo. It has the status almost like a stillborn, like a corpse, and you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. It has a din of muktzah. Aval imo shocha uminikaso mipnei sakana. But nevertheless, if the baby still has enough energy, it hasn't yet perished, such that it could suckle from its mother's womb, we will allow that to go on. We will actually require that to go on, because in the Gemara's time, especially if a woman gives birth and her breasts are full of milk and she has to nurse, if she doesn't nurse, that could be a very dangerous situation. Even today, you know, women when they have trouble with nursing, as many women do, you know, they get infections and breast infections. This at the time of Chazal, I mean, they didn't have antibiotics. That was very dangerous. Okay, now let's keep in mind that in the Braisa that we quoted earlier, we had a machlokas tanoim about the case of nolad mohul, and whether or not, according to at least the Tanakama's version, before we got to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, whether or not, according to Beit Shammai, the child, even though it's born without a foreskin, requires a hatofes dam bris as a substitute for mila, or according to Beis Hillel, there's no foreskin and therefore the child does not need mila. Itmar, Rav Omar Alochet Ketanakama. Which means that according to Rav, we accept the original version of the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, according to which Beis Hillel does not require hatofes dam bris in a case of nolad mohul. And we're going to accept Beis Hillel, and therefore according to Rav, nolad mohul certainly would not require a mila that would have the power, the potential to override the Shabbos. Shmuel Amar, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Shmuel disagrees with Rav. He accepts the second version in the Braisa, that of Rav Shimon, according to which even Beis Hillel require hatofes dam bris in the case of nolad mohul. Now the Gemara tells us a very tragic story. Rav Ada bar Ava is yalid le hahu yenuka kishu mol. Rav Ada had a child that was born without a foreskin, and the child was born on Shabbos, and the mila was a Shabbos mila. Ahadre, he ran around atleisar moholi to the 13 moholim in the town, and none of them were willing to do the mila. They all felt that doing the mila would be chil Shabbos, would override the Shabbos. Adeshavye means that he himself took it upon himself, this Rav Ada, to do the mila. He couldn't find a moel, and apparently Rav Ada was not an experienced moel, and also krus shavka, he mutilated his genitals, and by cutting the gid, as we say, the limb in the wrong place, the child was forever maimed. According to Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi has another version in this Gemara that the child ultimately perished as a result of this circumcision. Omar Rav Adabar Ava, declared Teseli, I deserve it. This was a punishment that I deserve. The Avrei Adarav, because I violated the ruling of Rav. Rav had paskind, like the Tanakama, which has Beis Hillel saying that a Nolad Mol situation does not require Mila. Does not require a Tofestan Bris. Therefore, what I did, Rav Hada admits, was a violation of the Shabbos. We'll soon see why Rav Hada thought that he should circumcise his son. What was his logic? Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Hada and he says, oh yeah, you think you're guilty because you violated Rav, but according to Shmuel, you're okay. He says, Ada Shmuel lo avar? Rhetorically, you didn't violate the ruling of Shmuel? After all, even though Shmuel accepted the version of Rav Shimon in the Braisa, and even Beis Hillel require Hatofas Dam Bris, but Amar Diomar Shmuel, in to what extent does Shmuel say we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? And everybody, even Beis Hillel, agree that you need Hatofas Dam Bris. That's only Bechol. That's only on a weekday. But B'Shabbos Mi Omar. Would Shmuel allow you to override the Shabbos in the case of a Nolad Mol based on Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel saying that we have a problem here because even though there's no foreskin that we can see, but nevertheless maybe there's an Orla Kavusha that's underneath the surface. But we don't know one way or the other whether this child needs Mila, and certainly it would not override the Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to understand Rav Hada bar Rava, what was his thinking? And why did he feel that there was a definite chiyuv mila for this nolad mol situation that would even override the Shabbos? Who savar, he held that the reason why nolad mol needs hatofes dam bris mishum devadai orlo kvushahi, that we, and even Beis Hillel would agree, that it's definite, there's no question about it, that there is an orla under the surface, and therefore there's a chiyuv mila, and therefore it overrides the Shabbos. And you'll see now that Rav Hada bar Rava actually accepted the opinion of Rav Yosef. The Itma, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Rabba Omar Chayshinan Shema Orla Kvushahi. Rava says the reason why we need to subject this child, who is Nolad Mol, to this kind of procedure of removing some dam, is because Chayshinan, we're afraid maybe there's an Orla underneath the surface, but we're not sure about it. And according to Rabbah, we would certainly not override the Shabbos because it's a Sufik. But Rav Yosef Omar, his position is, Vadai Orla Kvushahi. That there's no question, and it's absolutely certain, that underneath the surface there is an Orla. Which means, therefore, that we could be Mechal Shabbos. Om Rav Yosef Minam Minalei. What led me to this conclusion that a Nolad Mol situation, Vadai certainly has an Orla Kvushahi requires Mila that would override the Shabbos? It's Sanya we learned in a Braisa. Now, this Braisa is another version of the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Until now, we had the Tanakama's version, we had Rav Shimon's version, and now we have another Braisa with Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar's version. And he says, Lo nechleku Beis Hillel Beit Shammai Beis Hillel al nolad shu mol shitzarch la'atav imenu dam bris. He, like Rav Shimon before him, in his transmission of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, maintains that everybody, even Beis Hillel, agreed that you need a Tofes Dam Bris in the case of Nolad Mol. Alman Nechleku, what is the scope of the Machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai? The substance of that Machlokas is, are you allowed to L'chal Ol Aves HaShabbos? Beit Shammai Omer L'chal Ol Aves HaShabbos. Beis Hillel Omer Ein L'chal Ol Aves HaShabbos. So therefore, according to this presentation, this transmission of Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor, Beis Hillel agree with Beit Shammai that we have to be afraid that perhaps there's Orla Kvusha, and we must subject this baby, this Nolad Mol baby, to a procedure called Atofes Dam Bris. However, we will not override the Shabbos. Why? Because as opposed to Beit Shammai, who believe that it's Vadai Orla Kvusha, Beis Hillel maintain it's a Suffolk Orla Kvusha. And a Suffolk, as we said over and over again, cannot override the Shabbos. Now Rav Yosef wants to know, what did Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor disagree with in terms of the original version? In other words, he came by after the original Braisa, and he must have said, well, I have a different version. Lav Michlal, shouldn't we now derive from the fact that, according to Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar, there's a machlokes between Beisil Beit Shammai, whether in the case of Nolan Mol we will violate the Shabbos, the Tanakama, meaning Rav Shim ben Elazar, who came before Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Savar, he was of the opinion that according to everybody, Michal and all of us are Shabbos. So again, if we look back at the language of Rav Shim ben Elazar, he claims that the whole machlok shim beisil beit shammai revolves around the case of a ger who had his mila before he converted to Judaism, whether he needs hatofes tambris. But as far as hatofes tambris for a child that was born to a Jewish parents, then everybody agrees that he needs hatofes tambris, and that would override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. It's true, I agree with you, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar's version, there is no machlokas about the question whether or not Nolad Mol requires Hadofas Dambris. But Rav Shimon did not say a word about whether or not Hadofas Dambris, in the case of Nolad Mol, overrides the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, V'dilma perhaps, Tanakama, meaning Rav Shimon ben Elazar, according to his understanding, Divrei HaKol Ein Mechalalim Ka'amar. Meaning what he meant to imply was that even Beit Shammai would be of the opinion that we don't override the Shabbos in the case of Hatofetz Tambris for Nolad Mol, because it's only a Suffolk. So therefore, when the Gemara is attacking Rav Yosef, how Rav Yosef, do you know, by way of diuk, you know, from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar said that there's machlokes between Beisil Beit Shammai where the Nolad Mol overrides the Shabbos, therefore you derive that according to Rav Shimon and his version, everybody agrees, even Beisil, because there was never a machlokes about Nolad Mol according to Rav Shimon's version, everybody agrees that we will override the Shabbos, maybe exactly the opposite. Maybe, according to Rav Shimon's version, everybody agrees that we don't override the Shabbos. Even Beis Shammai would say that the requirement of Hatofes Tambris in the case of Nolad Mol is only a suffix. Maybe it's an Arla Kavusha. Maybe there's some sort of foreskin underneath the surface. So the Gemara rejects this and says, that's not an objection. That's not a valid objection to Rav Yosef. Im Kain, if you're telling me that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, everybody agrees that we don't override the Shabbos in Nolad Mol, is then Rabbi Lezer HaKapar, when he came along to say that there's no machlokas between Beisil Beit Shammai, that we require Mila, but the machlokas between Beisil Beit Shammai is whether that Mila is a Suffolk Mila and it does not override the Shabbos, or it's a Vare Mila and it does override the Shabbos, is then Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is only disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon, who came before him, only as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon, Beit Shammai would agree that we don't override the Shabbos. According to Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, his version is that Beit Shammai would hold that we do override the Shabbos. And the Gemara is not happy with that. Taimo de Beit Shammai osa lashmina? Would Rabbi Elazar HaKapar just disagree with other Tanoim simply because he wants to reinterpret Beit Shammai? We have a principle, which is based on the Gemara Masechta Brachos, that Beit Shammai b'makom Beisil ain't a Mishnah. That when there's machlok shim beisil beit shammai, we don't consider beit shammai shita a halachic sheet in terms of how we paskin, and therefore the Gemara says it's not satisfying to say that Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar only came to reinterpret beit shammai. The Gemara says no. In truth, I could tell you that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, everybody agrees, even beit shammai, that ain mechal onos shabbos in the case of Nolad Mol. Ah, you'll ask me, what did Rabbi Elazar HaKapar come to add or subtract? Dilma Hochi Komprax, this is what he meant to say. Lo nechleku beit shammai beisil bedover zeh. Which means the following. He's not coming, meaning Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, to disagree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. He's coming to disagree with the Tanakama of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. If you recall, in the original Brisa, there was a presentation, an anonymous presentation of the Tanakama, according to which there was a machlokas shim beisil beit shammai, in the case of Nolad Mol, does he need hatofes tambris? And according to Beis Hillel, even on a weekday, you would not require hatofes tambris, whereas Beit Shammai requires hatofes tambris. On that, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, no, don't accept that girsa, that presentation of the Tanakama, but rather lo nechluku beisil beit sham v'dovr. So there was never a machlokas shim beisil beit sham. Everybody agrees that you need a tofes tambris. Their machlokas is only whether it was docha Shabbos. Now Rabbi Lezer Kapor is coming to teach us the shita beisilel that you need a tofes tambris. But in truth, it could always be possible that according to Rav Shim ben Elazar, everybody agrees that ein mechal on us the Shabbos, and even Beit Shammai agrees. So don't object and say, well, if that be the case, then Rabbi Lezer HaKapar is not adding anything in terms of Beis Hillel. He is adding something basic according to Beis Hillel, because he's addressing not Rav Shimon and his version, but rather Tanakama's version, according to which Beis Hillel didn't even require a tofes tambris on a weekday in the case of Nolad Mol. And on that, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar is coming to point out, no, for sure Rabbi Beis Hillel required a tofes tambris in the case of Nolad Mol during the weekday, but not on Shabbos, because it remains a safek or lo kvusha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, even Beis Hillel would agree that we override the Shabbos, or perhaps even according to Beit Shammai, we aren't Mechalos the Shabbos. But we don't have a proof one way or the other, and Rav Yosef was of the opinion that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar's version, even Beis Hillel would agree that we override the Shabbos in the case of Nolad Mol, meaning that Nolad Mol is not a Safek Arla Kvusha, but a Vadei Arla Kvusha. But the Gemara itself is not impressed, and the Gemara leaves that as a possible rejection, not a definite rejection, and therefore it's quite possible that according to Rav Shimon, even Beit Shammai would agree that we don't violate, override the Shabbos for the sake of Nolad Mol, and the reason for that is because Dam Bris is only a Safek. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know the following. Is there any connection, which we, in fancy English we call it interdependence, Hava Atalia, between a meal on the eighth day and Tumas Leda, which means that the mother who gives birth, after birth she becomes Tmea. And only in that case, where she becomes Tmea, does the child require Mila on the eighth day. Otherwise, there's no special significance to the eighth day, and of course it means it would not override the Shabbos. Omer Rav Asi, kol she'imo t'meo leida nimol lishmona, kol she'eino t'meo leida is ein nimol lishmona. Now let me mention there are two cases in which a woman, after she gives birth, is not t'meo leida. One of them is called yotzei dofen, which means a cesarean birth, and the other is a case of a non-Jewish woman who gave birth to a child, and then afterwards she underwent gerus. And in both of these two cases, the mother of this baby does not contract tumas leida. These are the two exceptional cases. And according to Rav Asi's presentation, there's no din of milo l'shmona, shenemar, isha ki tazria, at the beginning of Parshat Tazria, it says, v'yolda zocher v'tmeya, and then it says, v'yom hashmini yimol b'sar alasa. So the Torah is making this interdependent. A woman who is Yalda, Zachar v'Tama, she becomes Tmeya. Such a woman is by Yom HaShmini Yimol B'Sar HaLasa. On the eighth day, the child is subject to Mila. But a woman who does not contract Tuma as a result of Leda, like the two cases we mentioned earlier, her child does not require Mila on the eighth day, and Mila could be done any day after the eighth day. I don't understand philosophically why this should be logically so. Why should Mila Bishmona be dependent upon Tumas Leda? I had a little bit of an idea that crossed my mind because, you know, my father was a Darshan, so I have it in my genes. But apparently the whole process of Mila and that mitzvah is somehow connected not just to the father but also to the mother. Even though the father has a specific obligation to see to it that his child is circumcised, but the Torah sees that it also has a relationship to the child's mother. And in this case, if the child's mother did not have a full-fledged kind of leida, she only had a derech dofen, you know, cesarean, or she had a birth as a non-Jewish woman, is then there's no connection here between the mother and the child in the context of mila or tuma, and therefore there's no mila bishmon. Okay, I don't know. Tzarechli, even that requires, you know, if you want to study the philosophy of halacha, this would be a very interesting challenge. Amar lei, Sabai asks Rav Asi, Doros, or Rishonim, what are you going to talk about? There was Mila from the time of Avraham Avinu. Yochichu, they're going to prove to us that Mila is on the eighth day and has nothing to do with Tumas Leda. How do I prove this to you? She'ein imo t'meil Leda, the whole parasha of Tumas Leda was given at Maimad Har Sinai, and it only applies from Har Sinai and beyond, and yet v'nimo l'shmona. The Torah commands, Hashem commands Avraham Avinu to circumcise on the eighth day. You see that the circumcision on the eighth day has nothing to do with Tumas Leidah. Amalei, Saravasi says, this is a very, very famous principle in Shas, Nitna Torah, here we turn to Kuflam and Heyom and Beis, V'nischad Shalocha, which means that we don't derive, any halachic conclusions from the situation that predated Har Sinai, and all the mitzvahs and all the laws of the Torah start with Har Sinai. Whatever existed before, now that's a different status. That's not the status of a mitzvah, and therefore that which Avraham Avinu and beyond up until Har Sinai required milah on the eighth day, even though there was no tumas leidah, that no longer applies. The rule now, and we saw it in the parasha Ki Tazria, is that only when v'tomosa tumas leidah, then ubayom hashmini yimol b'sar losa. Enis, the Gemara says, is that really so? V'itmar. We learned in the Beis Medrash Yotze Dofen, a baby that was born through a cesarean birth. Umishi yeshlo shtei orlos. Well, let's say a child is born with a freaky kind of situation, which he has two foreskins, one on top of the other. And here we have machlokas. Rav Huna, Rav Chia, Barav. There's a machlokas. Rav Huna, Rav Chia, Chad Omer, according to one opinion, Mechalalin all of us, Shabbos. We will violate the Shabbos. Vechad Omer, Ein Mechalalin. We will not violate the Shabbos. Ad kan lo pligi el lechalas haShabbos. The whole machlokas is whether we override the Shabbos if the baby was born on Shabbos and day 8 is on Shabbos. Have a lishmona. But as far as a weekday is concerned, the 8th day, vade malin le, everybody agrees that we would subject the baby to the mitzvah of milah on the 8th day. So you see that the milah of the 8th day is independent of tumas leidah, because in the case of Yotzei Dofen, the mother is not tmei tumas leidah. And therefore, we have a brisa. I mean, not really a brisa. It's itmar means a base medrash, but we see clearly against Rav Asi. So Rav Asi says, "Ha b'ha talya." No. You made a mistake. You thought that there's a machlokes as to whether or not the mila of this Yotzei Dofen overrides the Shabbos name. The machlokes is much more fundamental. The machlokes is whether or not there is a requirement of mila on the eighth day. And although the machlokas was presented in a way that the emphasis was on Shabbos, that's because there's a tremendous nafkamina here about Shabbos, whether you override the Shabbos. If you hold mechalon of Shabbos, it means that the meal is on the eighth day, even though the mother is not tmei tumus leida. So therefore we have at least one opinion that assumes that you can override the Shabbos for the case of a woman when the mother is not tmei tumus leida. And it would seem that basically, you know, everybody agrees that the milah should take place on the eighth day. The only question is, in the absence of tumas leidah, could be that we don't have this special halacha that upgrades milah to the point to which it trumps Shabbos. But the Gemara apparently is now assuming that the Man D'Yomer who says Mechalanos HaShabbos, he holds that the meal is on Yom Shmini, even though the mother is not Tmei Tumus later. But the Man D'Yomer who says that we're not Mechalanos HaShabbos, Rav Asi is going to say the reason for that is because there's no din of Mila B'Shmona. And the reason for that is because the mother, in this case of a cesarean, is not Tmei Tumus later. So Rav Asi is going to hold like that, Man D'Yomer. And now the Gemara wants to say, Kitanoi, perhaps this din of Rav Asi as to the interdependence of Mila Bishmini and Tumas Leidas Imo is a machlokes tanoim. And for the remainder of Hashir today, we're going to be focused on this brisa that has quite a few different nuances in it and quotes a machlokes tanoim. So without further ado, let's gear ourselves up to try to understand this brisa. The Braisa is addressing the case of an Eved Knani and establishes the following two rules. The first rule actually applies to an Eved. The second rule applies to a Shivcha and the child born to a Shivcha. And in sequence, although the Braisa is going to start with the Eved and then go to the Shivcha, but the Gemara is going to actually analyze the second case first, the case of the Shivcha. So let's go through the Brice. Yesh Yelid Bias shenimol li echad. V'yesh yilid bayis shenimol lishmona. We're talking about a case of a Jewish man who possesses and acquires ownership over a female eved, which is called a shivcha, and the shivcha gives birth. And the question is, the Torah requires that if a person owns a shivcha and she gives birth, the child needs milah. That's the responsibility of the owner, of the adon, as we call him. So there's going to be one situation in which she gave birth, and a child is going to be circumcised on the first day, which could be even a day after the child's born, if the child was born in his possession. In other words, if the child was born subsequent to his acquisition of the shivcha, then the child needs milah immediately. If you want, you could underline Rashi about three lines before it gets wide. He says, "Afal pishlo avro olav chesel edasa." If you see that, three lines up before it gets wide in Rashi, and that means that even within the first 8 days of the baby's birth, yimolachem, Rashi derives from a pasuk that the adon will circumcise the child. And then there's another case of a yilid bayis, where the shivcha gives birth to a child, and the milah will be postponed till the 8th day of the baby's birth. Okay, we'll get back to that a lot later. We're going to focus most of our attention on the next part of this brisa, and that is yesh miknas kesef shenimo li'echad, yesh miknas kesef shenimo li'shmona. Now, miknas kesef means that the adon, the master, the Jewish master, purchased this woman. And everything depends upon the status of the woman at the time of the purchase. How so? Yesh miknas kesef shenimo li'echad, yesh miknas kesef shenimo li'shmona. There's going to be a case where a man buys a shivcha and the child needs milah immediately. And there's going to be another case which a man buys a shivcha and the milah is going to take place on the 8th day. Ketzad, how do we divide this up? Lokach shivcha me'uberes. If at the time of the acquisition she was pregnant, v'achakach yolda, and after the possession she gave birth, zeu miknas kesef hanimo l'shmona. In such a case, since the baby was born after he had already acquired the shivcha hamother, therefore the milah, the law of milah, applies in the normal way, and it means that the milah takes place on the 8th day. But laka shivcha uvlada ima, if she had given birth before he acquired the mother, right before the shivcha. Just 1 second, fellas. Just 1 second. My email address, I think. My phone number. I meant to say.
My phone number with AB&D.
All right. Okay, well, we're trying to set up the internet as we give the shiur. So I got two heads here. And so let's see if we can get back. So again, in this very complicated case, a woman had already given birth before the miknas kesef. So in such a case, zu miknas kesef shenimol li echad. In other words,
it says incorrect.
Okay.
Sorry, 9786.
Okay. So in this case, just 1 second. So in this case, the milah will take place immediately. Now we go back to the first part of the brisa. Remember, the brisa distinguishes between yilid bayis and another kind of yilid bayis. Yesh yilid bayis shenimo l'shmona ketzad lakach shivcha v'nis abra etzlo v'yolda. If a man, just 1 second, I'm trying to focus. Oh, yesh yilid bayis. If a man acquires a shivcha and she became pregnant after the acquisition and she gave birth, zeyulid bayis shenimo l'shmona. In other words, in such a case, this is a pretty normal situation, and like any Jewish child, requires mila on the eighth day. Later on, we'll see exactly what's yulid bayis shenimo le rishon. Okay, then. So let's go on. Rabbi Chama Omer yoldov yachid bila if she gave birth, and then afterwards he acquired ownership, and she had tvila for the purpose of becoming a shivcha, which is also gerus, by the way, partial gerus. So at the time that she gave birth, she was not subject to the laws of tumah tumas leva. Zeyuli bayishanimo li echad. In such a case, the child needs mila in the first day, meaning before the eighth day. Hit bila. But if the tvilas gerus took place with regard to the shivcha before she gave birth, v'akach yolda, izel yulibayis animo l'shmona. In such a case, the baby was born and requires a regular mila on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, v'tanakama lo shani le. The Tanakhama made no distinction between bein etbila v'akach yolda ben yolda v'akach etbila. In other words, the sequence of what came first, the tvila or the leda, makes no sense, no difference, according to Tanakhama. Which means the afagav de'ein imot tmeya leda nimol shmona. Even if the tvila took place after the leda, so at the time of the leda the baby was born, the mother had not yet done the tvila, which means that she was not subject to the laws of tumas leda, because tumas leda only applies to a Jewish woman, and she was not Jewish at the time that she gave birth. In such a case, it comes out that according to the chachamim of Rabbi Chama in this brisa, a child needs mila on the eighth day, even though the mother was not subject to tumas leda, whereas Rav Asi would have to, in a sense, align himself with Rabbi Chama. You know, he can only be built on the shoulders of Rabbi Chama, because Rabbi Chama is going to say that it all depends on when the tefillah takes place. Was the tefillah before the leda or after the leda? Which means that according to Rabbi Chama, if the tefillah was after the leda. Which means that the mother was not mitame tumas leda, then in such a case there's no din of mila l'shmona, so that Rav Asi could be standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Chama. So Gemara now raises the following question. Bishlei mila Rabbi Chama, according to Rabbi Chama, who says that the time for mila, whether it's before the eighth day or on the eighth day, depends upon tumas ima, whether the mother is tmei or tumas leda, mishkachas la, we could begin to understand the first part of the brisa, that yelid bayis nimo li echad, yelid bayis nimo li shmona, miknas kesef, nimo li echad, miknas kesef, nimo li shmona. How do we understand the brisa according to Rabbi Chama? And it means like this. If she became pregnant after the acquisition, v'yolda, and she gave birth, but v'yachach et bila, but the tefila l'shem geres took place after the leda, zeh yulid bayis shenimo li echad. Right, because since we say that according to Rabbi Chama, like Rav Asi, there's an interdependence, which means that milas shmona depends upon tumas imo. Here there's no tumas imo, because the tefila for geres took place after she gave birth. And therefore, it's nimo liechot. But at bila, if first she became a Jewish woman, v'akach yolden, only afterwards she gave birth, zehu yulid bayis shenimo lishmona. That's a case of a normal mila, meaning on the eighth day, because now the mother is tmeya tmumas leda, because the tvila took place before the leda. Then we go on in the brisa. Mignas kesev nimo l'shmona kigon shalokach shivcha muberes. He acquired ownership on a pregnant shivcha, hit bila, and while she was in his pregnancy, he made sure that she would undergo gerus, conversion, v'yakach yold, and then she gave birth. And now she's tmeya tmumas leda, because the tvila took place before the leda. Is then, we understand that the baby would be born, would have mila on the eighth day. Okay, then miknas kesef nimo li echad, What's the case of a baby that was born to a shivcha and needs meal even before the eighth day, on the day of the acquisition? Kigon, this is a case of two people who purchased a shivcha muberes in shutfus. There was a partnership, ownership, acquisition over a pregnant shivcha. Lokach ze shivcha v'ze ubra. What was the nature of the partnership? It was such that one of the buyers would acquire ownership on the mother, and the other would acquire ownership on the fetus, meaning, so when the fetus is born, that would be his ownership. So since the one who took the ubar does not have any possession, any rights to the mother, that's very dissimilar, so to speak. That's not a classic case of a leidah l'Yisrael. You know, a woman, a Jewish woman who gives birth, then there's no breakage, so to speak. There's no wedge between the mother and the child. But here there's a wedge between the mother and the child, because the mother goes to Reuven, who bought ownership on the mother, and the child belongs to Shimon, who bought ownership, so to speak, acquired the ubar. And that's going to be a case of miknas kesef nimoli echad, that the normal procedure of milah on the eighth day is not going to apply because there is a cutoff, so to speak, a breakage here between the mother and the vlad. Ela Tanakama, according to Tanakama, who's of the opinion that the halachas of milah shmona do not depend upon when the tefillah took place, is bishleim akula mishkachas lehu. We could say that all the other halachas, with the exception of this halach of Yilid Bayis, that's Nimo L'Yom Echad, we could always understand the Braisa in the following way. It's understood, El Yilid Bayis Nimo L'Echad Echim Mishkachas Leh. How can you find this din of Yilid Bayis Nimo L'Echad? According to this opinion of the Tanakhama, every Eved that's born in the possession of Yisrael is Nimo L'Shmona. How much more so Yilid Bayis, that even during the pregnancy stage it was in his possession. The case is a person who purchased the shivcha on the condition that after she gets pregnant, he will also acquire ownership over the vlad. However, she will not be purchased. So he's leaving the shivcha in the possession of the original owner. He's only buying the rights to acquire ownership on the vlad. And in this case, even the Tanakhama would agree that there's no milah on the eighth day. It's not similar to Yisrael case, because he has no chelik, as we said before, in the mother. We have a major machlokas. What happens if you buy and you purchase a piece, let's say, of karka? Again, it could apply to metalton as well, but let's talk about karka. You buy a piece of real estate, and the only rights that you're purchasing are the rights to the produce, but not to the karka itself. So the karka itself remains in the possession of the original seller, and the buyer now acquires ownership on the produce. And there's a gigantic machlokes all over Shas. How do we define this? One man, the Omer, says, Kinyan peros, lav kinyan aguftomi, meaning that you acquire ownership only on the peros when you purchase that. That condition means it excludes you from any ownership whatsoever on the guf, on the karka itself. Or in the case of a tree, you don't own the tree, you only own its fruits. According to that opinion, we'll see the other opinion in just a second. Now we understand very well this halacha called Yilid Bayis Nimo Li'echad. Why Yilid Bayis Nimo Li'echad? Because we're talking about a case of Lokech Shivcha Li'ubra. And if he's Lokech Shivcha Li'ubra, means he only owns a Kinyan Peros, and he has no Kinyan power over the mother. And that's why the Din of Milah is not similar to the classic Milah of a Jewish child, and therefore there's no requirement of Yom HaShmini. Elo L'man D'Yomer Kinyan Peros La K'Kinyan Aguf Domi. There's one man D'Yomer who says that when you buy rights to produce, then you automatically acquire ownership on the guf, on the original. Is then, when a person purchases a shivcha li'ubra, according to this second man d'Omar, he owns the shivcha herself. It's not an ownership on the vlad, it's an ownership on the shivcha for the vlad. Or I own the tree for its peros. So Gemara answers, "Om Rav Mesharshi v'lokech shivcha al menasha lo lahatbila." Here's an interesting scenario. A man buys a shivcha on the condition that he will not subject her to conversion. Now she gets pregnant after the acquisition. She gives birth. In such a case, the mother has no connection to a chiyuv mitzvahs because she never went into the mikvah for conversion purposes. And therefore, even though the owner, the Jewish owner, the master now has a chelik, he has possession over the mother, but again, it's not similar to a case of Yisrael. Because in a case of Yisrael, clearly the mother is obligated to mitzvahs, and she's a full-fledged Jewish woman, and therefore the child gets milah. But in this case, the mother has no tefillah at all, and that was the condition in which he bought her. Tanya, we learned to the Bryce, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Sheshar Shloshim Yom Bi Adam Eino Nefel. Once the baby reaches its 30-day birthday, we know that it's not a Nefel. It's a viable being, and it will continue to exist. Shen Nemar, we see in the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen, which is on the 30th day since its birth. Upiduyov mi ben chodesh tifdeh. The Torah commands you to wait until 30 days after its birth before obligating you to redeem the child with pidgin haben. It means the child is now at the 30th day outside of the category of nefel, and therefore the chiyuv pidgin haben emerges. Ushmonas yomim bebehema. In a case of an animal where there's also a din of waiting until the animal is a viable being after its birth in order to bring it as a zevach on the mizbeach, is the Torah says shmonas yomim bebehema after the 8th day subsequent to the birth of the animal. And then it's Eino Nefel, then we know that it's out of the status of Nefel. That has a twofold implication. Number one, we can shech the animal and eat it. It's not a trefa. Number two, we can bring it on the Mizbeach. Shenemar, when the Torah defines the time after birth that the animal is royal a karbon, it's miyom ha-shmini v'holo yeirotza karbono. From the 8th day and on, since its birth, then it becomes royal a karbon. And that's because it's Yotza Mechlal Nefel. So Gemara Sakasha, Holo Shaha, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it seems that if we don't wait the 30 days, then Sfeika Havi, we really don't know whether the child is a Nefel or it's a Bar Kayom, it will continue to exist. And here we turn to Kuflam and Vavam and Aleph. It's the Gemara asks the Kasha, Mimhal Hechim Alinale. I don't understand. The Torah says that on the 8th day, if it's a Shabbos, we will override the Shabbos for the sake of this milah. How do we know such a thing? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're not sure whether the child is a nefel or not. And then it should come back to the din of sfeika. And we said in every case of suffix, the Gemara derives from our lasso to exclude that it would not override the Shabbos. So we've undermined now the entire halacha that a baby on its 8th day of Shabbos will override the Shabbos for its milah. Amar Rav Adavarav, Amolin Osomi Manav Shach. No matter what, whether the child is viable or a chalila, if the child is a nefel, there's no problem in overriding the Shabbos. Im chayu, this is mimonashach, right? No matter how you slice the cake. If the child is really viable, and we'll find that out when the child reaches its 30-day birthday, a shaper kamoil, then for sure its mila is a full-fledged mila and overrides the Shabbos. Im lav, and if heaven forbid, the child dies, then mechatech bebosorhu, then he didn't violate the Shabbos. Why? Because the violation of the Shabbos is called Meleches Chabura. Chabura means when you wound somebody on Shabbos, that's a tolda and a subcategory of Netilas Neshama. But Netilas Neshama is predicated on the fact that you have a viable being. If you, this child never is not viable, it's a Nefel, we'll only find that out subsequently, but when you cut its basar, you're just cutting a piece of meat, and that's not a violation of Meleches Chabura. And now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha from a brisa of Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Shmona, which Amir Tzashem will pick up tomorrow. So we're going to stop here on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph on the fourth line down from the top of the page.